are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
If you weren't a teacher, what would you be? I know the answer, a clown.
Yeah, when I was maybe four, I probably would want to be a social worker.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources, and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance, and research-based publications.
This is Holly, editor at Teacher Toolkit, the most influential blog on education in the UK. 2018 is the centenary of women winning the right to vote in the UK. To mark this anniversary, over the next year, I will be interviewing 100 women working in the field of education or in the public eye in order to catalogue their lives, celebrate their successes, discuss the challenges they face, and discuss what they would like to pass on to the next generation.
Okay, so I'm at the Piggott School today and I'm here with Alice Ferguson. Hi Alice, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, nice to see you again.
You too. Can you tell our listeners what it is you do and where you do it?
Okay, so I'm a science teacher, but I specialise in teaching physics and I teach at the Piggott School at the moment.
Yeah, and you're head of science as well, aren't you?
Yes, yeah, I'm head of science.
How long have you been in that role?
So I was doing it solely for a year last year, and then I'm doing acting head of science as the lady came back from maternity leave, so now I'm sharing the role with her.
Ah, great. What made you become a teacher?
It's quite stereotypical, really. Like, I had really lovely teachers when I was at school and they really enthused me and really pushed me and built my confidence and enabled me to do subjects that I wouldn't have had the confidence to do myself.
Okay.
And it just really inspired me. And I've always been quite good at talking and like making friends with people. And I think that teaching is like really important in that respect. And I've always wanted to work with people. And I've always, when you're little, you bounce around like really crazy careers. Like, I used to want to be a clown and I used to want to be a nursery teacher, but all of the ones that you think when you're little, but teaching was always something I came back to every time. And it was just, I didn't know what I wanted to teach, but I knew that I wanted to teach something.
Yeah, and so why did you choose science?
So I've always wanted to be able to understand how things work and being able to use my knowledge to help explain other phenomena and other contexts. And science is such a relatable subject, and most lessons that you try and learn, or most topics you try and learn, there's always something that you're going to be able to explain at the end of that particular topic. And I just really like it. And
yeah.
My science teacher was one of the main influential people when I was doing my school life. And she really pushed me and she really saw that determination and that passion and really like, inspired me to carry it on.
Oh, great. And what teacher training route did you take?
I did a PGCU course through Reading University. And so it consisted of two different placements and then a bit of time in universities looking at lectures and a bit of theory behind how people learn.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been teaching now since your training?
This will be my sixth year.
Mm-hmm. And do you think it's getting easier or harder?
It's difficult to tell because I haven't really had more than a year and a bit of be doing the same role. So I was training and then I was a newly qualified teacher and that had its own trickiness. And then I was not a newly qualified, but I had a higher timetable. And then a year after that, I was head of physics, so that was an added responsibility. And then a couple of years after that, I was acting head of science. So it's got harder because I've had more responsibility. But I do think if you don't have that and you are happy just improving your lessons, then I think it does get easier.
Mm. So do you find that your students enjoy science?
The vast majority of them, especially in year 7 and 8, they're lovely to teach because they're so enthusiastic and they're really eager to try and understand things and to learn things. I think it gets trickier in year 11 when you still have to teach everyone, but it's a bit more stressful with lots of exams and subjects and it's a bit rushed trying to get through everything. Mm-hmm. So you don't have the time to teach everything as excitingly as you would want to.
Oh, yeah. So do you see equal engagement with boys and girls in science?
They are engaged, but they show their engagement in different ways. So science is quite a practical subject, and boys tend to adapt to that quite readily. and they're not afraid of just giving things a go and trying to do the experiment or write an answer down. And if it's wrong, it doesn't matter. They're happy to change things or to scribble things out or for things not to work quite so well. And they've also a bit more of a competitive side and can volunteer answers without being embarrassed about getting things wrong. Whereas in my experience, girls tend to not want to get things wrong as much, and so they're really reluctant to write things down. And so in science, we actually tend to get better results for boys, which is different to other subjects.
Yeah.
But it's mainly because of that practical element and the girls not being forthcoming and being a bit too reluctant to get involved. I think they get a bit intimidated by the confidence that the boys tend to show.
And are there any strategies that you have to try and combat that?
So we are a really female-heavy department, so I think that does help because the girls can, well, we can try and relate to them a little bit more and we can speak about our own experiences and trying to not put too much pressure on them because they do put a lot of pressure on themselves. And so it's making a bit more of a supportive environment so they feel they can ask you questions and work through things in their own pace and in their own way.
What would you say is your favourite science experiment to do in class?
When I teach A-level, we have to learn a wave topic and we have to look at something called standing waves. And it's where you have waves that you can reflect. And so you have two waves travelling in opposite directions and they can kind of combine together. And you can demonstrate it really visually by passing sound waves through some gas and then lighting it.
Wow.
And so you have like little flames that get produced from lighting the gas, and you can change the frequency of the sound wave and the height of the flame changes and it looks like they're dancing.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so you can create some quite nice patterns and things with it, and it's just a really quite visual but quite exciting way of showing that. So that's probably one of my favourites.
Oh, it sounds really good. What career achievement are you most proud of?
It's probably being asked to take on the head of science role when the head of science went on maternity leave, because it wasn't something that I went out of my way to try and get. I was asked about it, and so that just shows that like people that aren't me are proud and can see the things that I could do to try and help that.
Mm-hmm. How is it juggling the kind of teacher and leadership role?
I found it really difficult at first, but I'm quite good, I'm quite organised, and I'm quite good at just kind of getting on with things and not feeling like everything getting on top of me. But I am quite a people person and I try to make sure everyone's happy. And as a leader, that is something that you can't ensure all the time. And so in terms of the paperwork, I'm fine with the workload. It's the more of the emotional side of things that I found really difficult to try and adjust to.
Yeah.
But I'm getting there.
Yeah. And if you've kind of recognised, it's good. It seems that you're good, self-reflective, recognising what you deal well with and what you struggle more with. Yeah, that must really help. What would you say is the main? Well, you kind of covered this. The main challenge that you face in your job.
Yes, yeah, so it's the emotional side of things, and just accepting sometimes that I'm not going to be able to make everyone happy, and sometimes you just have to make sure everything's fair.
Yeah.
And so, but I I'm working on that.
Yeah. If there was one thing you could change in education, what would it be?
That's a good question. I think it's the inspection and the judgment on just results, because there's so much more to education and so much more to schools than getting good results. But unfortunately, it's the thing that schools get judged on, and so it's what we're under pressure to try and achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the inspections focus on that, and all the different things lead back to it, and it tends to be more of a box ticking exercise rather than people coming in because they want us to show them how great the kids are and how much they want to learn. You can't really get that across very well.
Have you experienced an Ofsted inspection?
Yes.
How many?
Two.
Oh. Were they as scary as they sound?
It was really scary the first time because I was just an NQT, so I hadn't really had any experience. and I hadn't had many lessons under my belt because I hadn't taught for very long. So that was quite intimidating. And then the second time round, I was in charge. So that was intimidating because I had other people to try and support at the same time. But we got through it.
Yeah.
And I think that they saw that the department was a really supportive environment.
Yeah.
So hopefully it was okay.
That's brilliant. What does the centenary of some women getting the right to vote mean to you?
Oh, I think it's like fantastic. Like, I did my physics degree when I was at university, and there was 100 people in my lecture theatre, and 10 of them were women.
Wow.
Like, it was just ridiculous, and the level and the engagement that people are trying to get women into science and into technology and just into things that is such a male-dominated world is. Like, anything that you can do to try and encourage that would be better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's an amazing achievement for women, and there's so much more that can be done, and getting the publicity and the understanding of what's been achieved over the last 100 years and how much more there is to go is so important.
Mm. Okay, so now we're just going to finish up with a quick fire round. If you weren't a teacher, what would you be? I know the answer, a clown.
Yeah, when I was maybe 4,
yeah.
I probably would want to be a social worker.
Mm, okay. Ah, I guess that's like a lot, must be a lot of similar qualities between being a teacher and a social
worker.
Yeah,
it's got emotional baggage, though, that I'd have to try and be able to deal with. But in an ideal world, that's what I would like to
be. That's true. Okay, name 3 famous women, dead or alive, who you would like to invite to a dinner party.
Okay. Rosemary Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Marie Curie. And... Oh, Margaret Thatcher, just to see what she's like.
Good one. Tell me 1 thing you've learnt today.
In this podcast or just in general?
Anything, in general.
Oh, okay.
Or it can be this week.
Well, my Year 12s did a presentation earlier today about a property of a material called oobleck.
Oh, right,
And so I learnt lots about it and how it's a mixture of custard powder and water and all the different properties that it can have when you put it under pressure with sound.
Oh, cool.
So I learned a lot with that. That was for an interesting presentation.
What was it? Oobleck.
Oobleck.
Oobleck, okay. That's something I've learnt today too. What are you currently reading?
I'm reading a fiction book about the role of a nanny in quite a rich person's house. I can't remember the name of it, but that's what
sounds
it's about.
Interesting. And finally, which woman would you like to see me interview? In this series, and someone in education or it could be like a role in a school.
I know that you're interviewing Maggie Irwin after school today, so she would be a really amazing person to interview because she's had such a lot of experience, and I think she'll have some really good insights into things that she's achieved over her many years of teaching.
Oh, brilliant. I can't wait to talk to her. Thank you so much for talking to me, Alice. That's brilliant. Thanks.
Bye.
You are listening to Teacher Toolkit. You can find out more about 100 Years, 100 Women on our website, teachertoolkit.co.uk, or follow us on social media using the hashtag TTKit100Women.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.